Do you ever just stare into the void of your fridge at 2 a.m., holding a slice of cold pizza like it's a compass pointing to your destiny, and wonder to yourself, wow, this is exactly what I wouldn't have chosen? Like if someone handed you a cosmic vending machine at the age of 10, and you were told, here, punch in the code for your ideal future. Would you have hit B7, dead-end job, recurring plantar fasciitis, mild drinking problem, and a toxic ex who still Venmos you at 2 a.m. with cryptic messages like, remember the cabin? Probably not. You would have chosen rock star or astronaut or just person who feels okay most of the time. Okay, so let's start with the bad news. Free will might very well be fake, like sugar-free cake or politicians. You didn't choose your parents, or your childhood, or your socioeconomic class, or that moment in eighth grade when you got confused and you peed your pants during a book report on the Louisiana Purchase. No, that was all fate. Or trauma, which is basically just fate with better branding. And you didn't even choose your favorite band. Your brain just latched onto the first guitar riff that gave you a dopamine jolt at age 14. And you went, yeah, this is my identity now. And then you spent the next two decades defending it like a wounded raccoon in a dumpster full of pitchfork reviews. So, we think we're in control because we can pick between Netflix and Hulu, or regular and decaf, Spotify, or complete silence, because this algorithm keeps recommending Taylor Swift, and you're middle-aged, twice divorced, with a restraining order from Joy. But the deeper truth? Most of our choices were made by things outside of our control. Our genes, environment, culture, trauma, apparently even our gut bacteria. And did you know that there's research that actually suggests your microbiome may influence your decision making? Yeah, isn't that great? So now I'm faced with not being an individual, I'm just a walking meat puppet run by yogurt. Okay then. Robert Sapolsky, neuroscientist, author, and part-time destroyer of hope, he wrote a book called Determined, where he makes a compelling case that free will is an illusion. Sorry, all you existentialists, myself included. Not just fuzzy, not just compromised, but straight up non-existent. Like your gym membership or your last situationship. So according to Sapolsky, every decision we make is the outcome of a long tangled mess of neurons firing in predictable, causally determined ways. So your choice to become a philosophy major or, I don't know, a computer science major, that was your upbringing. Your biology, your fear of math, and your need to seem deep at parties, not free will. Sapolsky explains that everything we do is just the end result of causes stacked upon causes, stacked on top of more causes. Your childhood, your genes, stress levels, hormone profile, your fetal environment, and yes, even that concussion you got during junior high flag football. And, you know, you swore it wasn't that bad. Well, it was, because you haven't been the same since. So what this means is when you reach for a cigarette or decide to ghost your therapist or buy a used motorcycle during a midlife spiral, you might think you're making a choice, but you're not. You're just the end result of billions of dominoes tipping in slow motion. And the weirdest part of this, your brain is designed to lie to you about this. It has to. Otherwise, you'd never get out of bed. You just lay there in your crusty sheets whispering, "None of this is real," while your dog stares at you like, "Are you going to feed me or what?" But here's the kicker. Even if free will is an illusion, it's a necessary illusion. It's what keeps us from turning into nihilistic puddles of slop, though I may be an exception. It's what makes you feel guilty enough to text back your mom. It's what makes you believe you can change even if your entire neurological makeup says, "Nah, bro, you're going to do the same dumb thing again next week." So yeah, we're not really in control. But the lie is so convincing and so deeply embedded that we feel like we are. And sometimes feeling like we're free is the only freedom we really get. Okay, so if we've been sleepwalking through life under the illusion of choice, the obvious question becomes, where exactly are we sleepwalking to? Because it's not just that we've been tricked into thinking we're in control. It's that the world we live in and we've built around is a lie that's getting exponentially more complicated and maybe less forgiving of that delusion. All right, so let's take AI, or as we like to call it now, the reason we wake up at 3 a.m. and staring at the ceiling and wonder for an hour if we're still going to be employable in 3 years. AI doesn't care about our illusion of free will. It doesn't care about your dreams, epiphanies, or that one time we took a spontaneous road trip and found ourselves on the Pacific Coast Highway singing badly into the wind. No, AI just wants data. It wants patterns. It wants to know that if we watch three videos about sourdough starters, we're probably two clicks away from buying a $400 bread machine that we'll use exactly once. And it's disturbingly good at this because we're disturbingly predictable. You know, we like to believe we're wild cards, complex beings full of contradictions and mystery. But, you know, let's be honest with ourselves. We're just behavioral spreadsheets wrapped in skin. Algorithms know what we'll do before we do. That's not a joke. That's a typical day at Google. And the thing is, the smarter the technology gets, the more obvious it becomes how little free will we actually have. You know, we're building machines that are excellent at imitating us. And in doing so, they're holding up a mirror, and it's not flattering. It's a mirror that says, hey, turns out your personality can be summarized in 18 data points and a caffeine habit. So we're not training them to be more human. We're just slowly realizing we're not as human as we thought. Okay. Now, some people might find this terrifying, and I understand. Other people might find it liberating. Personally, I find it a bit like realizing my favorite dive bar is actually a front for a multi-level marketing scheme. I still like the atmosphere, but now everything tastes a little off. And, you know, here's the philosophical gut punch. If our choices are mostly shaped by genetics, environment, trauma, marketing, and TikTok trends, and if we're building a future where even machines can anticipate our next move before we've even made it, then what kind of future are we actually walking into? A deterministic one? One where everything's locked in and we're just along for the ride? Because that's not just science fiction anymore. That's today. And if the future is deterministic, if AI can outthink us, outdecide us, or outmaneuver us in every meaningful way, then we're going to have to ask ourselves something deeply uncomfortable. What does dignity look like in a world where we don't really have control? Do we still deserve agency, respect, rights, when we're just slightly hairier versions of ChatGPT with less processing power and way more sexual dysfunction? I mean, some might say we need to build a future that respects human autonomy. Great. But what does that even mean when autonomy is basically a polite illusion we've all agreed not to look at too closely? You know, the optimists say we'll merge with the machines, like the singularity, that we'll use AI as a tool to enhance our choices. You know, they say technology will help us become more ourselves. But what if we don't want to meet ourselves? What if we don't like what we find? And what if becoming more ourselves just means realizing we're anxious apes with short attention spans, an existential crisis, and, you know, a compulsive need to check our phones every 8 seconds? Look, here's the deal. The future is coming, whether we're ready for it or not. And the more we strip away the fantasy of free will, the more we're going to have to decide what kind of reality we actually want to live in. And not just one where we feel free, but one where we have the space, the time, and the collective will to build meaning anyway, even if it's all an illusion. Okay, so maybe we're not in control. Maybe free will is just a cleverly designed hallucination we've all agreed to share, like money or the idea that we're ever going to find time to meditate. But that leaves us with a more dangerous question. What is the point? If we're just meat puppets being yanked around by biology, advertising, and unresolved childhood neglect, then what is the meaning of life? You know, why do we keep dragging our bodies out of bed every morning to sit in traffic, attend emotionally numbing meetings, pay bills for furniture we never really sit on, and argue with bots online who don't even have real profile pictures? I mean, what the hell are we doing? You know, for a long time, religion handled this for us. The meaning of life was God has a plan. You know, a little vague, but comforting. Like, you know, wrapping yourself in a warm towel right after getting hit by a car. But for a lot of us, that answer doesn't really land anymore. You know, we've seen behind the curtain. We've read the articles, we've taken the psychedelics, we've watched The Matrix multiple times, and now we're stuck with this raw, unfiltered awareness that we're on a dying rock in the middle of an indifferent universe, trying to invent some sense of purpose between the occasional panic attack and a craving for pizza, which I have right now. So there's no master plan. And our choices aren't really ours, then what's left? You know, maybe meaning isn't something we find. Maybe it's something that we generate, like body heat or passive aggressive family tension. And we create meaning in tiny ways. We take care of each other and tell stories. We make shitty art. We write painfully honest journal entries in the middle of the night. And imagine it might help someone out there, even if that someone is just us. We love, even when it's messy and even when it ends. We laugh at funerals, not because we're monsters, but because life is so fucked up and so short and so full of pain that sometimes the only logical response is to wheeze laugh until snot comes out your nose. You know, that might be the point. Maybe we don't need some grand cosmic narrative to make this all worthwhile. It's enough to say, you know, this really hurts, and it's beautiful, and it's temporary, and I'm here no matter what. Because here's the paradox. Even if our choices are mostly determined, we still experience them as choices. Even if the universe is on rails, we feel like we're steering. And that feeling, however fake it might be, is where meaning sneaks in through the back door. It's in how we respond to the utter randomness of everything, to the pain, to the fact that we're probably not special and that no one's coming to save us. So we can still choose to be kind. We can still choose to make art or raise kids or scream into the void and then go make soup for someone we love. Even if none of it matters in the grand heat death of the universe sense, it matters to us in the present moment. And maybe that's enough. Because let's face it, even if there were some grand objective meaning, what would we even do with that information? Get another tattoo, update our LinkedIn bios. You know, we're not built to hold cosmic truth. We're built to feel things, to hope and screw up and start over again and again and again. We're stories telling stories, glitches in the system, trying to find patterns in the static. And yeah, we might be deterministic meatsacks, you know, with boundary issues and a weird attachment to iced coffee or whatever. But we're also capable of joy and of awe of feeling something deep in our ribs when the light hits the kitchen just right and there's music playing for once and nobody's asking us for anything? That's not nothing. You know, meaning might be an illusion too. But if it gets us through the day and if it gives us the strength to reach out, you know, to make something, to keep going, then maybe we don't need it to actually be real. Maybe we just need it to be ours. So let's say the jury's still out on free will. Maybe we have it, maybe we don't. Maybe it's just a very convincing hallucination served up by our frontal lobe so we don't spiral into existential terror every time we pick between whole milk and almond. But even if steering the wheel isn't connected to anything under the hood, it feels like it is. And when it comes to the impact of our lives, that illusion might be all we've got. Because despite the chaos and pre-programmed behavior, our choices still do things. They ripple. They infect other people's lives in ways we'll never truly understand. You know, a half-sincere smile at the grocery store, a shitty tweet or text we didn't send, a conversation we did. Every decision is a thread in someone else's sweater, and we don't get to see how it unravels. So, we've all been changed by people who probably had no idea why they were doing anything important at all. You know, a song someone wrote in a basement, a joke that hit a little too close, or maybe a teacher who didn't humiliate us when we got the answer wrong. And sure, maybe their brains were just playing out the deterministic script they were handed, but we still walked away with a different sense of the world and ourselves. And even if we're stuck in a simulation, or worse, a group project run by reality TV executives, you know, the fact is, we're still in it. Together, screaming into the same void, using the same broken GPS system, trying to find the same gas station sushi version of meaning before the credits roll. And that gives our decision some weight. And not because they prove we're in control, but because they shape the ride for better or worse. You know, we can choose to be kind, or, you know, the kind of person who makes things a little easier for someone, or not. You know, we can choose to be honest or cruel, or weirdly passive-aggressive in a way that feels satisfying in the moment but haunts us in the shower 6 years later. And sometimes the smallest choices hit the hardest. You're calling someone, apologizing, leaving, staying, speaking up when it would have been so much easier to shut the hell up and just keep scrolling. And of course, none of this is easy. You know, we're exhausted, overstimulated. You know, we've been doom scrolling through so much bad news and performative self-care that we can barely hear ourselves think anymore. But still, we have those slivers, those quiet, unglamorous moments where we get to decide, even a little bit, how we want to show up. You know, not because we're trying to prove something to the universe, but because we're already here. And, you know, we might as well make the most of whatever bizarre, slightly rigged, possibly haunted game this is. So maybe we don't control everything, or even most things for that matter. Maybe the idea of total freedom really is delusional. But we do get to steer the vibe, and we get to choose how we react, how we treat people, what we leave behind, and that's a kind of power too. You know, it's not glamorous, and it won't win us any awards or land us a TED Talk, but in a world this messy and uncertain and absolutely batshit, small acts of intention might be the only thing that still counts. You know, we don't have to believe the myth of total autonomy in order to still be responsible for what we put out there. Because ultimately, whether or not we're free, we're still accountable. And accountability matters. You know, to each other, to ourselves, to this weird, beautiful, doomed carnival ride that we're all stuck on together. Okay, so where does this leave us? You know, we've questioned free will. We've poked holes in the meaning of life and admitted that most of our choices are possibly just glitchy brain patterns dressed up in a suit, and yet we're still here. Still wondering what to do with our hands. Still trying to figure out how to live like it matters when we know that, cosmically speaking, it probably doesn't. Which is why I think authenticity matters more now than ever. You know, not the performative Instagram kind, or the I'm trying to be vulnerable to build my personal brand kind. I mean the raw, unfiltered, God, I hope no one screenshots this kind of authenticity. The kind that happens when we stop bullshitting ourselves. You know, when we strip away the algorithms, the expectations, and the trauma responses masquerading as ambition, And we ask, okay, what the hell do we actually care about? Not what we're supposed to care about. Not what'll get us likes or validation or corporate sponsorships from overpriced mattress companies, but the real stuff. The weird stuff, quiet stuff. The stuff we don't even tell our friends because it feels too small or too fragile or just too stupid. You know, living authentically starts there. You know, it starts when we notice that we feel calmer listening to the rain sounds than going to a party. And we stop pretending otherwise. It starts when we realize we've been living according to a script written by people who wouldn't last 10 minutes inside of our actual heads. It starts when we stop trying to be impressive and just start trying to be honest. You know, even if it means disappointing some people, even if it means saying no to things that look good on paper, and even if it means we have to sit still alone for a while, staring at a wall, wondering if we made a huge mistake. Because we probably have. But that's okay. We're not supposed to have it all figured out. I mean, nobody does. And if anyone says they do have it all figured out, they're either lying or selling something or on their third ayahuasca retreat and due for a crash at any moment. You know, we're all just trying to be a little more ourselves before we run out of time. And that clock is always ticking. I mean, and that's the trick, isn't it? Not becoming someone new or fixing all our flaws. Just trying to remove the noise. The layers, you know, the endless clutter of shoulds and musts and what would my high school ex think of if they saw me now. You know, living authentically is less about becoming something and more about unbecoming everything that isn't actually us. You know, and that's where the freedom sneaks in through the side door. You know, not in the big flashy choices, but in the tiny ones that we make when no one's watching. What we read, and what we eat, what we say when we're tired, who we keep calling, you know, even when they don't call back. That's the real us. That's the stuff we can shape. That's where the illusion of control becomes just real enough to do something with. And maybe that's what this whole meaning of life thing boils down to. Not figuring out the universe or achieving peak productivity, but just being real, as hard as that may be. You know, in a world that rewards masks and filters and carefully curated selves, you know, being real is like an act of rebellion. And maybe that rebellion is the point. And we don't need cosmic permission to start living like we mean it. Maybe we just need to stop waiting. Stop waiting for the perfect moment. Stop waiting for the anxiety to go away, because it's never really going to. You know, stop waiting to feel ready, because newsflash, we never will. This is it. This messy, absurd, insane, beautiful garbage fire of a moment. That's what we get. And if we can live in it, like really live in it, not just survive it, then maybe that's enough. Maybe that's everything. Okay, so in closing, you know, free will might very well be a lie. And, you know, the future might already be written in some godless spreadsheet on a server farm outside of Reno. Who knows? And life might be a cosmic joke told by a comedian who died mid-punchline, but we're still here. You know, we're still breathing, making decisions, even if they're just highly convincing spasms of meat and memory. And in between the existential dread and chronic joint pain, I think there's something weirdly beautiful about that. You know, maybe the point isn't to figure it all out. The point is to just show up anyway, no matter what. You know, to love people even though they're doomed. To create something that'll get 14 views and still feel worth it. To scream into the void with a kind of grace, maybe even a harmony. Because at the end of the day, we're all just trying to make some kind of peace with the absurdity of it all. And if we can do that on some level, if we can face the chaos and still choose to be kind and still choose to tell the truth and choose to laugh when everything hurts, then maybe that's the closest thing we get to free will. And maybe that's enough. All right. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go stare out a window and disassociate for 20 minutes before convincing myself to make dinner. And if you've made it this far, you're a champion, or you're just some kind of masochist. Okay. Be weird. Be kind. Be a little bit reckless. And above all, you know, don't trust anyone who says they've got life all figured out. I mean, I don't. You know, they're either lying or trying to sell you a course. Thanks for watching.